Here are some examples of onomatopoeia, sounds which come from the word themselves. Achoo, babbling, cough, gargle, gibberish, hiccup, hum, chop, susurration, etulation, whisper and yell. And the word flibbertigibbet, a flighty or talkative person, derived from a meaningless representation of chattering. Welcome to the Noise Cancelling Podcast. We're here to talk about all things tech. I've just read out some things from Wikipedia, which is on the internet, therefore technology. Let's see who's on the podcast today.
I'm Sherielle Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag.
I'm Matt Swider, Managing Editor at TechRadar.
I'm Chris Burcliffe. I'm a creator of a YouTube channel, which has the very mature name of TechSpurt.
And I am Gareth Beavis, Global Editor-in-Chief of TechRadar, and very good at reading Wikipedia pages. I'll be honest, there's some of these things on here that are not a list of onomatopoeias that I'm not sure are politically correct these days. I'm not going to read them out, but feel free to have a look and make your own decisions there. Welcome to the Noise Cancelling Podcast. It is the time where we talk about all things tech, try and pretend we're knowledgeable, and generally fail, but hopefully you laugh. Also, I mentioned my dad. That happens too. So this week, we've had quite a lot happening. There's been a lot to talk about, so I think we should dive right in. Except the first thing. Sadly, the inventor of the mouse has died. William English, known as Bill to his pals, has unfortunately died of respiratory illness. He's over 90 years old. He was obviously credited with inventing the mouse, the thing that we know today, and is such a useful input device. He was also part of something called the Mother of All Tech Demos. He helped engineer a lot of that, which is where we saw things like the birth of spreadsheets, hypertext, even things like wirelessly transmitting the presentation. This is all in the 60s. This is crazy. And I do urge you to look at this stuff in the future because it's really quite interesting. But William English, with some plywood and two ball sensors inside, made the mouse. But what if he hadn't? What if he'd never done that? So how would we be using computers today? Or more importantly, if the mouse was outlawed right now, what would we use instead? I don't think it's like we would never have used it, but if it was outlawed right this day and no one could ever use a mouse again, what would it be? Sheree, let's start with you.
I think we'd be using our eyes and maybe some form of the ring, that ring motion gesture ring thing. It just seems like the most logical thing. Go with the eyes and then like you have to, we're so accustomed to clicking and doing all of that stuff. We'd still have to click. So if there's no mouse, I think we go total motion controls and eyes.
That's for Sheree a very sensible opinion. I'm proud of you.
I have my moments. Like, everything doesn't have to be opulent and over the top. Thank you very much.
Doesn't have to be.
But it should be.
Chris, what about you? No mouse, what thoughts?
I mean, mine's not nearly as sensible as Sherry's, unfortunately. I was thinking along the same lines of a mouse, natural enemy, of course, the cat. So I was thinking maybe you could have like a proper life-size Moggy, which is actually covered with fur, looks quite realistic. Maybe it has a little sticky up tail. You kind of use that as a joystick. And instead of left-clicking, you could just give it a nice little stroke, and maybe a right-click would be like a little tummy tickle or something like that. And it actually purrs in response as well. So, you know, if you're having a really bad day, your computer's pissing you off, just kind of, you know, eases the tension a bit, gets the old heart rate down. So that might do the job.
I mean, portable versions of that or a gaming cat, it's not going to be super easy, is it?
might be a little bit trickier. Obviously, with gaming mice, you've got several buttons. You might have to incorporate the cat's anus in some way. I'm not really sure. Maybe stick a finger in there to get the rapid fire.
No.
I knew that was where this was going. As soon as you said that, I knew that something about a poor cat's butthole was going to enter this conversation.
Yes, sadly predictable as always.
Yeah, also to say what you say, we'd have to use it. I'm like, we wouldn't have to use it. I don't think it's a thing.
Could be an optional extra, a fun little I don't know.
Fun for who?
There are lots of questions about why it's called a mouse. One of the people that Doug Engelbart, who was the other person who did them, who was part of the, he basically did the demo, which is called the Mother of All Tech Demos or Mother of All Demos. He showed the hand controlled mouse. This is major back in the 68, by the way. And he said, I don't know why we call it a mouse. Sometimes I apologize. It started that way and we never changed it. Some people think it was because there was an on screen cursor called a cat that appeared to chase the device's path on a physical surface. But I've done some Googling. I can't work out what cat stands for. So I'm just going to leave that as a definite solution. Matthew Swider, what do you think? You should see the fear in this man's eyes, because I'll be honest, behind the curtain, he hasn't prepared for this.
No. What do I think of the mouse and its origins, or what do I think we would be using instead?
Yeah, exactly. If the mouse was outlawed today, what would you use instead? And then you can give us your thoughts on why it's called the mouse.
Yeah, I like Cherie's take on using the eyes, because we kind of have some of that right now, but I think we would just jump to touchscreens.
Okay.
But I don't think the technology was there back in the 60s, so we would just wait until the technology was ready. But it may have, you know, hastened the process for something like that to come about.
Yeah, the problem with touchscreens is, you know, we have all used an iPad, especially now it's got the mouse support and everything, but we're still in this kind of weird middle ground. I said Microsoft Surface is the same as well. But using your fingers to touch a screen is nowhere near as good as just, the mouse has existed for 50 years because it's just so good and nothing can beat it. However, if it had never existed, I'm just completely ruining my own question here. If it had never existed at all, I really believe that we would have got this kind of Minority Report style, you know, using your hands to move things around, but like making shapes with your hands, it would be interacting with it like that. There, you know, society and technology would have had to find a way to make that work. And by now, it would be so awesome. And, you know, it would have possibly be involving eye tracking, as Sharia's pointed. But just, can you imagine how good virtual reality would be right now if this technology of being able to sort of move your hands and understand and feel and all this kind of stuff with, I don't know, gloves or rings or sensors of some description, which would be like dollars now, nothing major at all because it'd be used so much. We'd have such a better virtual reality experience. I'm still upset that virtual reality isn't here. So in terms of who's going to get the points, logic dictates you should go to Cherie, but Chris has talked about cat's buttholes. So well done for Chris winning the points.
I didn't realize that's all I had to do to win this podcast. Brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it's very simple.
It's going to be a butthole frenzy from now on.
Oh, Jesus.
So we have got a lot to talk about today. There's, you know, this has actually been quite a big tech week. Matthew Swider is looking suitably adrenaline dispensed from a massive Samsung launch we've just been through. But before that, we're all going to guess, well, I wish I had a jingle machine ready. What's in Sherry's box?
Shut up, Chris.
I'm not saying a thing, all right? I'm stepping back.
Cherie preloaded this from last week. She had a white glowing box in her apartment.
Yeah, so basically, last week, a Deus Ex Machina box appeared in my house. White glowing. It could have been anything. It could have been the meaning of life. It could have been those CBD pills I've been waiting on. Anything. The possibilities were endless. So I leave it to you. What do you think was in the box?
So did you know what it was before it turned up?
I did not. So I was very confused. And let me say this, like, since we are working from home still, I get at least 2 to 3 boxes a day of tech. And sometimes I'm a little slow getting to the boxes. So I just happened to open this one up and it was glowing. I was just like, oh, okay.
I feel like there's got to be some sort of egg in there. Eggs always come from glowing boxes, right?
What
kind of eggs do you have, man?
I don't know. I just feel like there's, you know, you sort of, I imagine people reaching into a glowing white box and pulling out some sort of orbs or an egg-shaped thing, just like holding it with two hands, wondering, and then something, I don't know, something is born from it, or you just look after it. I don't know. I'm just going off the top of my head. I don't know what's in the box.
Like some Indiana Jones shit or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's either that or someone's head, and I don't think it was that because I think Cherie's pretty relaxed right now and knows what's in it, so...
I mean, was it actually plutonium?
Great question.
It was not plutonium.
Was it from a Marvel movie in some way?
It was not. It was not the Tesseract.
I can't remember the word Tesseract. It was annoying me so much. I was like, the sacrosanct? That's not a thing.
Was it like a Bluetooth headset or something really shit?
Oh! There we go.
Hey!
It was actually the Sony WH-1000XM4 headphones.
Oh, goddamn. I've really wanted a pair of those. I want to go unbox of those.
They are magical.
Because they glow?
They themselves do not glow. Am I wearing them? I am wearing them. I'm wearing two sets of...
Holy shit!
That is magic.
Listeners,
right,
you can. I wish you could have just seen what happened. Cherie's wearing a lovely white headset with a microphone, which you'd imagine for podcasting, so you can hear us so hopefully clearly. And she's just reached behind those headphones and found headphones she wasn't aware she was wearing.
That was some David Blaine shenanigans right there.
I have a lot of hair. That's all I have to say. But I've spent basically a week with these, and they are, I think they might be better than the Bose noise canceling headphone 700s, and that's saying a lot. They definitely go toe to toe in terms of the ANC. The audio is warm and dynamic and rich and deep, and they're lighter. They're a little bit lighter. They're more comfortable. The ear cups have a better surface area, so I've basically been able to wear them for so long and forget that they were on, and for me to pull them out of my hair, like, oh yeah, I am wearing them. And the app just gives it so much functionality. Like, you've got 360-degree reality app, so it gives you a 360-degree spatial audio effect. It has active noise canceling. It, like, the noise canceling, you can set it to pause when you talk. It, like, there's so much functionality going on in these headphones. I am really excited for this review to go live tomorrow. I am very impressed with what Sony did this time around.
So with this, with the understanding of the active noise cancelling switching off when you're talking, like, that sounds like a pretty important thing, right?
It is. Like, it's basically, like, Sony basically thought about these for commuting, for work, for, like, they want these to be your main line headphones. It also has the adaptive sound control, so it watches, it pays attention to what you're doing. So if you're sitting, it will put up the noise canceling to maximum. If you're walking, it automatically switches to walking, and it'll, okay, maybe it'll put the ambient noise on to 12, so you can hear things around you and be aware of your immediate surroundings. The ANC deactivating when you talk is for, like, if you're in an office and you want to talk, but you don't necessarily want to take the cans off. You just have the conversation, the noise canceling drops out, you can hear everything very clearly, and yeah, they're really good, and they have 30 hours of battery life, which is 10 more hours than the Bose.
It sounds good, but I just mumbled to myself all day, so that probably wouldn't help me as I'm listening to music and working.
You can disable it in the app.
Oh, that's nice then, okay. I'm all for this then.
But I mean, is it one of those, what if you're singing?
I would, like, I tend to sing when I'm by myself. So I, in the house, I disable it. Like, because I just want to, you know, sing along and not have to actually hear myself. So, but outside, I put it on, well, when I go outside. Like, it's not like I'm talking to strangers when I'm outside. But, But certain features I activate or deactivate. And the good thing about it is, if you do it enough, the headphones in the app learn, and they'll ask you to register a spot. And so automatic presets will come in that spot. So if I'm at home, it knows that I'm typically sitting, I'm typically working. So I have the active noise canceling as far as it can go. So it automatically switches to that mode.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. Like, I'm really excited for folks to read this review. Right now, I'm thinking about giving these 5 stars. You'll know when the review goes live. They are expensive.
How much are we talking here?
$349. So they're not as expensive as the Bose when they first came out, which were $399. I think since they've been out a while now, they might be $209. Don't hold me to that. But they are a little expensive, and the touch panel control on the right ear cup can be a little bit finicky. But I think there's a firmware update coming later in the month that will fix that, so that might change.
I mean, I think they're going to be one of those things that it becomes difficult, doesn't it? Because come Black Friday, which we know is on its way, and all the deals will come, there's going to be either XM3s on good sale, probably, but then I was like, those XM4s sound proper next gen. Like, as in, that's what I want from headphones. Headphones that are thinking, and I don't want that. I don't want headphones that think. I want them to be sentient enough just to do what they say, but not to the point where they could terminate me in some way, because they're on my head. Also, they could be on your head without you knowing, Cherie. That's what's happened. they've made you forget.
I did have a problem with the threes and the microphone not working, and I found that to be on Reddit. People were talking about the microphone not working very well, and I had an incident. I hope they corrected it in the four. I had an incident where I was tuning into a meeting, sort of like this, and it was about Black Friday, and I was getting on an airplane and about to get to my seat, and I, you know, chimed into the meeting and made a really great point. And Gareth said, we couldn't hear a word you were saying. And it dawned on me that these expensive headphones just didn't actually have one critical functionality, which is the microphone. Has that been improved?
That has been improved. They actually have 5 microphones. So you've got 2 beamforming. You've got 3 to pick up the rest of your conversation. I've actually been calling people on this. My brother said I sounded very clear, as did my mom and a couple of cousins. And for their end, it was so clear that I could hear my niece in the background as she was talking to me, telling me how she was about to learn how to play Spider-Man, and my heart melted into a huge puddle.
She is 37 though, right?
No, my niece is my niece is 5, and she's adorable.
She can be adorable at 37.
But she's 5, so.
Okay. Right, let's go on to today's sweat-inducingly big news. Matthew Swider, Samsung Galaxy Note, and all that.
Yeah.
What's going on? Tell us all the gossip. There's a lot that's happened, right?
Yes, and I put in my live blog, which someone just messaged us about. There was like, oh, was this... It was a pun about there was a lot to unpack.
Wah, wah, wah.
Pun number one of the podcast. Unnecessary pun number one. It was probably Samsung's biggest launch. You know, the S20 is a better selling phone, that series, but the Note 20, it's a bigger phone, and also it has a bunch of other side announcements. So you have the Watch 3, the Samsung Galaxy Watch 3, and that's the first time that Samsung has given us a sequel to the original Galaxy Watch from 2 years ago. They had some active watches in there in between, but I don't consider them canon. They're kind of like these side projects that they do.
So where's the Watch 2 gone?
They skipped over that.
They thought it would get confused with the Active 2.
Exactly. You put an Active and an Active 2 watch together, and that forms the Samsung Galaxy Watch 2. But they skipped it to do the Samsung Galaxy Watch 3, and that's probably the thing I spent the most time with ahead of Unpacked, and I really, really, really liked it. It combined some of the fitness features that were in the Samsung Galaxy Watch Active 2, with the kind of the aesthetics of the original watch. So Samsung likes to label the Galaxy Watch, the original one, as their lifestyle watch, and then the Active as their, you know, more sport watch. Well, this gives you the sport functionality, plus it has a little bit of the style that the original watch had, but it's not as chunky. So I kind of like that. Still same big 1.2 or 1.3 inch screen. So they erased a lot of the heft and the, you know, some of the bezel, but it still has this rotating bezel, which I find really unique. So if you want to navigate these circular menus, because it's a round watch, you just rotate the bezel and it has this click, click, click function that's really nice tactical feedback. So that's the watch. Really great fitness functions on there. The phones are the star product. I would suggest if people are deciding between the two, the Note 20 isn't quite as good. It has a full HD screen, no 120 hertz refresh rate, and no micro SD card slot. So it's missing a couple components that you do get on the Note 20 Ultra. Also, the Note 20 Ultra's camera should be better, although I'm a little bit skeptical of the autofocus on there. We had problems with the autofocus on the S20 Ultra that came back, that would launch back in February and came out in March. And it got a series of updates to kind of fix the autofocus on the 108 megapixel camera. Samsung, it's theorized that they can't have the same dual pixel autofocus on the 108 megapixel camera. So they went with something that's a little lesser. It's called phase detection autofocus. You know, at the end of the day, it's a different autofocus and it wasn't quite as good. So I'm kind of interested in seeing if the Note 20 Ultra has the same issues. But it's an expensive phone. It cost well over $1,000 in the US.
Whoa.
$1,299.
Well, that is well over.
Yes.
Not even close.
Yeah, I think it's at $1,099. I was like, okay, you know, I was trying to get used to that. But $1,299, is that for the base model as well?
Yes, for the Ultra. The Note 20, the regular Note 20, will be well under $1,000, as in $999. So clearly, I don't know the use of well under and well over. yeah, but that no. The both phones are all right, I would just go for the Note 20 Ultra if you're kind of on the fence about the two.
Of course go for the Ultra!
That's a $300 fence.
But the specs are so much better, it's worth it. A lot of people want a smaller phone, so they'll see 6.7 inches, even though it's still a big phone, versus 6.9 inches on the Ultra. And they're like, I'm going to go for the smaller one because that fits my hand better. No, just don't do that. That's not the reason to get the smaller version. In many cases, the lesser version. So the S Pen has a feature in it I really like. It's the stylus that Samsung uses. You can record audio, and at the same time you're recording the audio, scribble down some notes. But, you know, you could do that before, but this time it syncs together. So if you're in, like, a class as a student or in a business meeting and, you know, someone's talking about point number one, point number two, point number three, and you're scribbling that down, you don't have to take exact notes. You can just go back to point number two, and then it'll recite the audio that was said while you were writing down point number two. So you can just make just generic note. You could scribble an X, and it'll, you know, play back what was being said at that moment. Super great idea for journalists. It actually comes from something that is now defunct, or pretty much defunct, called LiveScribe. That's that technology. I used it for years, and I'm really excited to kind of use that when I have to do a briefing for a lot of these phone events and not have to write down the resolution and write down things so quickly. I'll have, you know, what was being said at that moment. And it's basically an interactive timeline instead of just a bar. You say, oh, resolution, tap that, and then it'll enunciate what was being said.
Do you still think, I'm still, and I'm talking, you know, a decade of looking at notes now, I still can't get used to writing on a screen, like with a stylus or let's say an S Pen. But Mark Chaxfield, the ex-deputy of TechRadar, called it a Pen S when it was launched in IFA all the years ago, and it still makes me happy. I still sometimes watch the video, he's like, and it comes with a Pen S, and it's like,
That's such a good point, because every year we bring that up, and we haven't brought it up this year, this launch event.
Keeping it alive.
Oh, no, John McCann, our current deputy editor, has tweeted Mark to say happy Pen S Day, so it's like,
oh, I have to like and retweet that. That's great. I did this morning just kind of tease out what was rumored and what was confirmed about the Samsung Galaxy Unpacked event. Ahead of time, I took a picture and I tweeted it out, and it was a checklist on my Note 10 Plus about, you know, what was rumored and what was confirmed. That took about 5 minutes to make that checklist because I wanted to make it pretty. But to your point, it's not super simple to have good penmanship on the S Pen, but for just notes, I think it's, you know, just scribbling stuff down, it's really good. It's fine for that. And, you know, kind of it goes to my point that recording audio is going to be key because you don't have to be so exact anymore. So I think it's a wonderful new feature that kind of is going to fly under the radar for a lot of people. But it's a thing I wanted for an S Pen. And actually, I asked Samsung to put that in like about 3.5 years ago, two and a half years ago. And, you know, was hoping they would. I don't know if they took that idea and used it from what I said, or they just magically came up with it themselves. But I'm super happy about it. I mean, I do want Swider somewhere in the source code. So that's all I ask in return.
Well, then I'll offer you, then you'll have to pay you royalties. So absolutely, that's not going to be in there. But
I freely give it up as a journalist. I don't think I can profit from it. So otherwise, you know, if I could retire on that, yeah, sure. But no, I don't think I can do that.
I think if it does really take off as an idea and people do engage with that, that's got to be coming to the iPad, surely. As they kind of, you know, I've just been checking the notes. There's no way to take audio in that, but typing and sort of writing and audio at the same time, that's got to be happening for the iPad as well, surely, because that's all what Apple is about. It doesn't have a stylus, of course. It's just a pencil, not a stylus. But if there was such a thing on there, then that would be a really good thing as well. Was it the Ultra or the Note or the... We haven't talked about the Buds.
Yeah.
Just realized.
The Buds are interesting. They're $169 in the US, and they're good. They don't have the ear tips in there, which is interesting. And for that, like, perfect seal.
Because they look like beans.
Yeah. Yeah, they look like beans. Samsung is changing up the styling a little bit. I wasn't able to stick them in my ears, mostly because everything was, when I checked it out, socially distanced and COVID, you know, germ fighting and so forth. So I decided not to stick them in my ears, but I'm interested in seeing how they sound, hearing how they sound. But Nick Pino we'll have our full review on that, along with Abbas. They'll be feeding into that. I think the problem is, do they really rival the AirPods Pro? And Samsung did a demo with, you know, the Galaxy Buds Live versus the other brands. It was, of course, you know, the Buds Live were amazing, and the other brand was not, but obviously not a controlled test.
Imagine if they weren't. Imagine if it was just that the other brand was like, actually, it's better. We're not going to tell you which one it is, but they're just better.
We hope to achieve this level of you know, clarity. I'm, you know, doubting the, you know, gap between those two at all. So they were really testing out noise cancellation and trying to show that. But for me, more important than all that stuff is the fit. And I have currently the AirPods Pro in, and they feel like they want to just jump out of my ears at times. So I, you know, if the Buds Live fit better, that's going to be probably a little bit more important than, you know, 10% more, you know, sounds here and there.
Cherie, you obviously love having over-ear headphones on so much, you'll wear two at once. What do you think about ear beans?
I'm excited to try them out. They look amazing. First of all, let me just say, Mystic Bronze, yes, that is the color of the year. I am here for it.
I hear people hate that color.
What?
Yeah.
No.
One of our writers said his girlfriend was watching the stream with him and said, "Oh, that is disgusting," and he was inclined to agree.
No. That's wrong. That's a wrong opinion.
I'll let him know. Sorry.
Like, let him know. Come at me, bruh. Like, whatever. I love the look of them. I am excited to see how the active noise canceling handles, especially since there are no ear tips to give you that. Because a lot of the earbuds, even with ANC, they are really taking advantage of passive noise isolation that's created by having a tight, secure seal. So if the ear tips if there are no ear tips to give you that seal, the buds are kind of at a disadvantage out the box. So this ANC has to be really, really good.
And what if it's not? Just game over? No Cherie 5 stars?
If it's not, it's just a waste. It's like, okay, so with the ANC and you have the always listening on, you basically lose 3 hours of battery life because these Galaxy Buds Plus, they had an estimated battery time of 11 hours. These have a estimated battery life of about 8.5. So you're losing a significant amount of battery life in the service of active noise canceling and all these and always listening. And if it doesn't work, I would have rather have just had passive noise isolation and 11 hours of battery life.
And it's interesting because Samsung's been playing around with this for quite some time in terms of active noise cancellation. But it's been only sort of launched in South Korea and lots of these. Samsung loves to put the best stuff in South Korea and not bring it to the wider world for some reason until much later. And I'm glad to see it's finally here. And at the very least, I'm glad that Samsung is not just copying Apple and doing a long stem thing that floats around and just looks exactly the same. You know, OnePlus, Huawei, there's all a lot of very similar long stemmed earbuds. It makes sense. It's a design that's not just locked to Apple. It makes sense as an actual design. Aesthetic, if you're going to be doing it technologically, but visually it looks a bit weird. You know, the amount of, still go back to it, the amount of hate I got for wearing the AirPods when they first came out that first day was ridiculous, ranging from you look like you've got toothpaste heads in your ears to someone's jizzed in your ear. It's what someone said to me, which was like very nice.
In both ears, supreme skill.
Exactly, yeah. That was a tweet to me. That was nice. Cool. Okay, I think that, Swider, we need to get your final verdict. What is the best part of the Galaxy Live unboxing? Compact, sorry, today we had. What was the best thing that you saw?
Well, it kind of dovetails into what you were talking about with the stems. There was a line in there. They said, even better, you don't have that awkward stem sticking out. So obviously an indirect kind of zinger at Apple. But I think the best part was that Samsung kind of pulled it off despite it being a virtual event. They had the Tab S7 and the Tab S7 Plus there as well, 5G tablets. Largest with a super AMOLED screen. So they unveiled a lot of things, and they did it while, you know, having it be a virtual event. And I think that's something that's brand new for a product showcase. A couple other companies have done it virtually, but we got hands-on time with these devices, and that's a rare move and a risky, gutsy move.
We are way over time with this podcast, but I have to ask, in these COVID times, that is quite a gutsy move to allow journalists to come and to test things out. I've spoken to a number of people who have been to these briefings, and they all were very complimentary with how much thought Samsung put into it. But equally, there are lots of people who say it's ridiculous to have any kind of gathering whatsoever. And, you know, these just to see a new phone, what's that about? But, you know, as journalists, it is critically important for us to do our jobs to be able to see this stuff. But where do you land on that side of it? Was it important enough to do it? Was it handled in the right way? Did you feel safe?
Yeah, and everything was voluntary. And so I signed up to do this. I volunteered to do this. And it was, the precautions were almost, I would say, extreme, but you need to be extreme at these times. So, like, to get, you know, like anything I touched would be wiped down. So that was very good. But you're absolutely right. It's critical to test these devices out. And otherwise, we're just taking someone's word for it, and that someone will be Samsung. So you don't feel any confidence when you're going to buy a over $1,000 product, $1,299 product, and the only people who have tested out are Samsung people. So you need that independent journalist. And so I'm happy to volunteer to do that. Otherwise, you know, you're just getting your news from the person who wants you to spend a whole bunch of money.
I'm glad. It is a difficult one, and I'm glad the whole thing was done safely. And I think you're right. It has been amazing how companies since, you know, the lockdown have managed to handle virtual events. Apple's ones, I feel, have been pretty successful as well. You know, very slick in terms of like spinning around the Steve Jobs Theater and stuff like that. It shows it can be done. But I do really miss going to these events and kind of the hustle and bustle of trying to grab a picture and, you know, eating weird food for all day long and realizing you haven't eaten for another 7 hours after that. I miss those days. But anyway, talking of forays into other things, let's talk about what Chris has got to say today. The Google Pixel foray.
Oh.
I see what you did. A good segue. Very good.
I didn't expect a clap. Thank you very much.
Google Pixel foray. Kieran, just before the Samsung launch, it's been a busy week. Super, super busy. But yeah, the foray, I'm just glad that it launched at all, to be honest. I honestly was wondering if it would be the Pixel foray launch or the Apocalypse that would come first. And it was the Pixel foray. Though it's not actually going on sale for another couple of months. So the world is still plenty of time to end before then. But yeah, basically, there's been a lot of good mid-range Android phones launching lately. One of the biggest names out there is the OnePlus Nord, of course. Got a lot of headlines, helped along by the fact that they were launching it for about 3 months or whatever. But you've also got the likes of the Realme X50 5G, the Moto G 5G Plus, and basically a lot of good mid-ranges that have premium specs. In fact, the kind of specs you won't find in the basic Note 20, like a 90 hertz display. A lot of them use Snapdragon 765G, so you've got that 5G support built in. The Google Pixel 4a, it's kind of a little bit more awkward in that the specs aren't quite as premium as a lot of the competition. But what you do get with the Pixel 4a is one of the best cameras, hands down, on any smartphone out there, certainly for that sort of price point. It's just so easy, just point and shoot, and you get great looking results. HDR, nighttime, doesn't matter when, just great stuff. It's a nice compact size as well, 5.8 inches. I can't remember the last time I held something under 6 inches like this year. It just blows my mind how dinky and light it is. It's lovely. And also, of course, you've got that lovely stock Android with the guaranteed update as well. So it's quite a lot of positives about the Pixel 4a. And I think for the everyday user, it'll do the job nicely. You know, a lot of them, they want that all-day battery life. They want the great camera and probably not that bothered about, you know, the super fast performance or anything like that, or the 90 hertz display, as lovely as it is. So, yeah, it's a good proposition.
I mean, I have no idea, and I mean no idea, how no one else is laughing at Chris just saying, I haven't held anything under 6 inches this year. Like, everyone's glossed
I chose to be an adult.
I was expecting you to pick up on that one, Gareth.
Sheree and Matt were both just sitting there, just happily listening, nodding sagely along, and I'm just crying with laughter in the background.
I chose the high road for once.
But do you think, are we in a world where, I mean, especially at the backdrop of $1,299 for a Galaxy Note Ultra, it's really hard. You know, sort of, we've talked just there saying about, you know, if you've got the two different choices, go for the Ultra. I mean, it's $300 difference. That's a lot of money. It's almost as much as just buying a Pixel 4a. You know, it's...
Listen, I'm spending that money. Samsung, barring this phone having terrible battery life, Samsung is getting that $12.99 from me. It's happening.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like Samsung fans who love that Note, love the S Pen experience, they're going to go for that. It's quite a niche device, but you know, it'll satisfy the people who buy it. But for the everyday user who's not bothered about an S Pen or indeed a Pen S, the OnePlus Nord, the Pixel 4a, they're going to do the job absolutely fine. Definitely.
In terms of the, which one did you prefer out of the Nord and the Pixel 4a?
It kind of depends on what you want. I know it's kind of a crap sit on the fence response, but the OnePlus Nord, it's got, you know, it's got the 90 hertz display, which is just so slick and smooth. It's got the 5G support if you're bothered about the future proofing. But I think out of the two, probably the Pixel 4a just about wins it because of that compact size. And I do really love that camera tech as well. It's just so easy to get the grips with.
Right, I think it's time to go and find out just how well Chris can do if he's talking quickly. But before that, I think we should take a quick break. So everyone, recharge your glasses or your bottles of water, and we'll be back in just 2 seconds. Right, we are back and we are ready for Chris to have a challenge at the... We need to have a better name for this, Shuri, don't we? News in 60 seconds, but it feels like it needs...
News smash!
Yeah, the news smash. It's time for you to have a go at the news smash, news blast. Either way, let's go to news smash it. Chris, so you know the rules here. You have 60 seconds. You've got to explain as many news stories over the past week as you can. So the listeners, all they have to do is turn this podcast on for 60 seconds. How they would get to this point having not listened to it, I don't know. And they can get so much information about what's been happening in the industry without having to do any kind of long listening. Hopefully they don't do that because they're enjoying this whole podcast. I mean, there's that bit where you mentioned 6 inches and her Shuri had 2 headphones on. That'd be awful to miss that. but let's see how you do. So I'm going to start, count you down, and you have got to, as we mentioned, give us as many news stories in 60 seconds with explanations. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so New Hampshire is apparently the first US state to allow flying cars on the roads, even though flying cars don't actually exist yet, so someone's been watching too much Back to the Future. Apple has asked UK landlords to cut Apple store rents in half because obviously they're paying far too much tax as it is. They definitely don't have enough cash. Garmin has confirmed to pay ransom to retrieve all of that data that got nicked a little while back. Apparently it was $4.5 million. They probably should have just got old Mel Gibson on them or something like that. That would have been easier. iPhone 12 prices leak. They start at $700. You could save up for that or you could just buy an Android because they're better. DualShock controllers won't work with PS5 games. Sony has confirmed it will only work with PS4 games that are backwards compatible. So that sucks. Worldwide tablet shipments have risen 18% in Q2, no doubt due to all the COVID randomness. No doubt Shiri will be happy about that, as she deeply believes in tablets. Nvidia is going to buy British chipmaker ARM for a reported $32 billion. It's looking more and more likely now. Really bad news for any Nvidia rivals who use ARM chipsets in their stuff. That Twitter hack that happened recently verified time. Accounts taken over. Oh, already? God damn, that was quick.
So, the last one. Does anyone feel they got... they fully got the story from the Twitter hack? Are we going to allow him to have that one?
It wasn't a very exciting story, to be honest. Basically, a Bognor Regis man has been charged along with a couple of Americans for that one, which is, I can't even believe that anyone in Bognor has a computer, let alone is able to hack Twitter. But there you go.
Given that we're very much a global podcast here, the phrase Bognor Regis is not going to scale across to India or America or to many parts of England even. It's a very lovely seaside resort where people would go, mostly in the 70s, I feel, to go and have a summer holiday when going abroad
Indeed.
Wasn't the thing you did. Okay, I'm going to give you 7.5, Chris. That puts you into second place.
Good stuff.
Oh, wicked. That'll work.
Yeah, good stuff indeed. Right, on to unpopular opinions. Shiri, lead us in.
Unpopular opinions, let your hate unfurl. We're going to be talking about Samsung because I don't believe in the Fold. Unpopular opinions. Yes. So here it is. While I just don't like the Fold, and I love big, gigantic, ostentatious phones, but the Fold, I'm just not convinced about it. I need more convincing. I don't like that when you actually do the Fold, you have that skinny display, that the aspect ratio doesn't work. I'm just not with it. Like, the way that I love the Notes is the way that I am just not a fan of the Fold. It's like, it's the antithesis to the Note. I just can't do it.
100% agree. Does anyone actually use the Fold? Because the only time I've ever seen it is in press events when, of course, all the journalists are whipping them out of the pockets. And the best part is, because they're so big and heavy and shiny, as soon as everyone sits down, immediately the nut starts to slide out of the trouser pocket. Not the nut, sorry, the fold. And you just hear a cacophony of them slamming on the ground, people shuffling around trying to get them back.
I don't think anybody bought it outside of the press, or because they got a review in it, because our Tech Radar review said this is the best phone that you shouldn't buy, or the most advanced phone you shouldn't buy. So I think they took our word for it. But I'm a big believer in the Fold. I want it to go fold even more. I want it to be like one of those comedies where someone's reading names off a scroll and then the scroll just keeps going and falls down to the ground and unfurls. That's the future of phones for me. I love not having to take a tablet around, but still having the tablet functionality when I'm on a plane or on a subway when that happens again. But then, slimming it down and having a foldable phone. I think you shouldn't have bought that Fold, rightly so, because the outer screen wasn't very big. The specs were, so-so compared to, phones today. The new Fold, the Galaxy Z Fold 2, awkwardly named, still doesn't have the S Pen that we really need. So I wouldn't have bought that first one. I don't know if I'll buy the second one, but I'm a believer in the idea. I don't think it's executed enough for it to be mainstream yet. And it's also really expensive.
I've been checking out the specs. I may have not Googled effective enough, but I can't see the actual screen ratio of the front. However, I do disagree with Cherie, not in many things, but in this case, the fact that I know what you're saying, it's a skinny ass front and it doesn't look great. The first Samsung Fold having that weird kind of, oh, we should probably put a screen here because it's weird not to, did look ridiculous. And I think that Huawei's Mate X, where the screen was like a normal phone and you just fold it out for a second screen, makes far more sense. However, the Galaxy Fold 2, yeah, that's right, has a much longer, the screen is, the whole front is a screen now. I'm not sure if it's 21:9, which would be the kind of the aspect ratio for watching a movie on. If that's the case, then I kind of think it makes a lot more sense. We are seeing phones from Sony, for instance, who are using 21:9. It does look pretty cool, but it's difficult because if we don't love these things now as journalists, then they're not going to come out and be, mainstream enough for the rest of, for people to have like the Fold 3, 4, 5 when they actually are more acceptable and more affordable. And that's where things get cool.
Here's what I want. I want LG's technology to make this phone. So I want the same technology that LG is using for its TVs to make those wallpaper foldable TVs. That's the kind of foldable phone I want. Like, I appreciate that Samsung has definitely worked on that hinge, because as we all remember, the hinge was really jacked up, and if a grain of whatever was in your pocket or lint or whatever you're carrying in there, crack rock, I'm not going to judge. Actually, I'm going to judge if you have crack rock. Don't do drugs, kids. and it would just break. They improved that, but like, I'm still worried about the mechanics of the phone. And I'm still worried about, I worry that there's not a really good case for it. And be at least with the Note, with that $1,300, I know that there are going to be reliable cases to keep the phone safe. I don't have that same security with the Fold, and it worries me.
And the Note is already like 6.9 inches as well, if you go for the Ultra. Like, surely that's a big enough screen for whatever you could possibly want to do. Why would you need bigger?
We're talking different ratios here, though. So, the folded out version being, I think, 7.2 or 7.9, I can't remember which one, for the Fold, it's a more rectangular, more pleasant experience to see with that. But, Cherie, your point, you can't have LG's rollable technology because the problem is, A, it's too brittle to be able to, to live in the kind of this pocket-based environment, as Chris pointed out, it's falling out all the time and you've got to open and shut it so many times. A screen that rolls up and rolls down is very controlled in the way it can actually move. And even that's a well expensive TV that no one's actually going to, not everyone is going to buy. And I remember, how many years it was ago when I was looking at kind of e-ink technology that could roll and can fold. And I spoke to the people that made it. And they said, we've got a rollable version, but no focus group liked it because they were too afraid. Like a rollable, like thin phone, people are just too afraid to have it. So they had to make it fold out, and it was, it was late 2000, so it wasn't exactly the most advanced thing. But you could people's worry about how things feel in the hand is massive. I do want to take another slight sidestep with Samsung, still another popular opinion. I fucking have had it with Ultras and Pluses and whatever Maxes. I cannot stand it. Like, maybe I'm just old man shouting at Sky now with technology, but the the days when a flagship phone was the best phone were easy. Like, I enjoyed that those days so much. You know, the new iPhone was the best iPhone, and maybe there was like an iPhone 5C, but you knew the best one was the new one. And maybe they made a bigger version, but it was just it bigger. And now we've got the iPhone 12, probably the iPhone 12 Pro, and there's the Max version on top of that. But the Samsung Galaxy Note 20 should just be the best phone. And the Samsung Galaxy Note 20 Lite should be the less good one. And, you know, you're not getting it as good. So I don't like this ultra and normal version. The days when kind of LG started this, where they made the middle phone the best, the flagship one, even though it wasn't the best spec. And it just drives me up the wall. I think you should, if you're going to have the flagship phone, the one that they promote the best, it should have all the stuff in it. Fact.
I don't know. Like, hearing that ultra, it kind of takes me back to Killer Instinct when you get an ultra combo, like ultra, ultra, ultra. Like, so I'm with it. The naming convention isn't as bad as some of the things that we have to review in tech. So I can live with them slapping an ultra on the premium phone because a lot of people aren't going, like, people are going to balk at that $12.99 price tag. A lot of people are. But they still want a Note. So here's your Note. You just don't get the Ultra, Ultra, Ultra.
Well, call it the Note Lite. Call it, the Note Mini. You know, call it something that's like, that's how it used to be. I don't, maybe focus groups have proved this differently. But, you know, the days of the HTC Desire, you know, was just the Desire was the best phone. You knew that one. And then when you had, you know, the 1S and the 1X and the 1V that turned up, You know, it was just easy to say the 1X was the best. It had the highest letter on it. You know, it was just, there was some simplicity to it. Now with this kind of like bell curve of where you want to go. And maybe it's what consumers want. I don't know. But I just miss the days where the best was the best. It was easy.
Yeah. I don't think consumers do want it because, I mean, that's the whole reason we exist is because then we have to write these ridiculously detailed comparisons between Note 20 versus Note 20 Ultra Pro versus the Plus and all this. And it's good for us. But I think consumers are just like, what's the difference?
But it's about marketing, though. It's the one that's marketed for people. They're shown different things. They're like, okay, I want that one. Well, is that one the one? Do I want to spend more? Do I not? Why do I want to spend it? It's sort of, and especially Apple, I thought, you know, they always push that the best thing is the best thing to have. And when you've got the Pro and the Pro Max in the middle there, it becomes a bit confusing. And yeah, maybe it's the right way to do things around. It helps people who want to be part of the club to have the, not feel like they've got the shit version. I don't know. But.
No, it should be the Note 20 and the Note 20 crap.
Yeah, there you are.
You're right. 100%.
Yeah, but then you'd have to say like, you'd have to try and Google that online. Difficult. Google that online.
They're going to run out of ideas one day and they're just going to resort to emojis, which I am in favor of that.
Note 20 smiley face and the Note 20 smiley jizzing cock or something for the Ultra.
That's not an emoji, Chris, but okay.
Is that not an emoji yet?
No, it ever be.
People have petitioned for it, but it just hasn't happened yet.
Note 20 cat butt.
Nope. So we're nearly out of time, but Cherie, as we mentioned already, it is my father's birthday tomorrow/yesterday, depending on when this comes out. Have you made him a jingle yet?
I thought about this. Bum 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 bum. Happy birthday, Gareth Stan. I don't know your name, so this is kind of bad. But happy birthday anyway. And I hope that you have a great day.
Very good.
Did you write that yourself?
No. No, well, the words, yeah, that just started coming off the dome because it's like, well, let's see what we're going to do. Let's wing it. That's how I just go through life, just winging it.
If you're winging things and you're rhyming, you're doing pretty well. I'll feed back on how Dad finds that. So fingers crossed he'll enjoy it.
All right.
Yeah, he's going to get a Rickle cleaning set. That's what he wants. So
happy birthday,
Gareth. If he listens to this early somehow, he's going to find out what it was. Right. Okay. Thank you very much, Chris, for being on this podcast. It's been a pleasure as ever. I say that and then I remembered some of the things you said. So...
Yeah, sorry to whoever has to edit this. I'm guessing there won't be a third time.
Do you want to promote anything before you go?
I guess so, yeah. TechSpurt, spurt as in, well, you know how to spell spurt, you've heard me talk. Go on the YouTubes if you want to see another guy banging on about tech stuff. That's exactly what the world needs.
Have you taken the TechSpurt URL just in case?
No, some other fuckers already got it. And it's actually a legitimate company as well. A legitimate company thought of TechSpurt before me. And it's a genuine business, whereas I'm just some bloke on the YouTubes making knob jokes.
And now podcast as well. Well, thank you very much. Matt, how can people get in contact with you or find your fine work?
Yeah, contact me on Twitter at Matt Swider, and you should be checking out my 72 hours with, or 24 hours with, depending on when you're listening to this, with the Galaxy Note 20 Ultra that Gareth loves the name of. And also the Samsung Galaxy Watch 3. I'll be running around New York City at a distance from people with that to test it out.
And Cherie, I'm sure people can contact you in some way.
Of course. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Smith 11. That's M-I-S-S Smith. Again, I can't spell again. Here we go. 11. And of course, check out Laptop Mag, like, for all things laptop, tablets, and we're getting back into smartphones. We're coming for your next Tech Radar and all my sister sites. I love you so much, but we're coming back. So stay tuned for our upcoming review of the Notes Ultra. I love that thing. as well as the Buds Live and the Tab S and anything else pertaining to Samsung. And definitely check out our review of the upcoming Sony headphones, Laptop Now, Laptop Then, and Laptop Forever.
And I am Gareth Beavis, Editor-in-Chief, as I mentioned, of the wonderful Tech Radar. You can find us on all the internet socials as just Tech Radar. That's where we go. We have obviously wonderful content for you to check out. We've got loads about the Samsung Galaxy Note 20. If you wanted to hear any more, I think we covered it extensively. But you've got everything you need to know about cameras, laptops, smartphones, smart homes, so many things. I can't even think about them off the top of my head. But I am really excited to see what we all think about the XM4s, because who knows, those could be the next headphones. But thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Noise Cancelling Podcast. We are, as ever, part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. Many other fine podcasts to check out there. Please do check them out. And as ever as well, if you subscribe to this podcast, you will find out more when it happens. It's always on a Friday, but you can get the latest episode right downloaded to your phone straight away if you use Apple Podcasts, where you can review us, give us 5 stars, Spotify, many other places you can get your podcasts. Subscribe now. Thank you very much, and goodbye to my guests. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.